And gentlemen, thank you so much for
thank
all
you,
the
everybody.
Callers, for all the volunteers. We greatly appreciate it. That's it for us this evening. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Until we meet next Wednesday, peace on earth. You're listening to KPFT Houston 90.1 FM. Stay tuned for Technology Bites.
You're listening to 90.1 FM, KPFT Houston. Coming up next.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
Greetings and welcome to Technology Bites.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
Afflicted.
I'm Barrett.
And he, and he, and he, ooh, I blew it. That's my fault. He's Lee. He's Gervehouse.
Gervehouse.
Perfect show.
The man with
broken
headphones.
It would be the perfect show if we weren't here to beg for money.
I was so excited about the perfect show when Pete chimed in. I just didn't know what to do with myself. All right, welcome to Technology Bites. We're so glad you could tune in. And
my microphone is squeaky. You hear that? It's squeaky. It's going. Sorry. Well, now I messed it
when
up.
When you move it back and forth, it tends to squeak.
He loosens.
Talk. It hurts when I do this.
I have to have my microphone sideways now, so it's not squeaky.
That's gangster style. That's cool.
My microphone. Can you tell it in my voice that it's all gangster style now? Can you tell?
Gangnam style, probably for you.
It's getting kind of sighing here.
Opa. Gangnam style.
All right. Well, you know, as you're probably aware, or you're going to be aware now, it is fundraising time here at the Mighty 90 KPFT.
But don't leave so quickly.
Yes, because
Wait.
We have good news.
There's more.
We have good news.
Spread the good news, Jay.
Tell us the news.
But wait. Now how much would you pledge?
All right. First of all, we want to say that our goal tonight has been... We got a new goal. It's $1,000.
$1,000,000.
Which is less than the $1,600 or $1,900 we've been asked to raise in the past. So now when we fall short, we won't fall as short.
It won't hurt as much when we're around.
The bar has been lowered.
Is that a coincidence we can mention?
What do you mean?
The $1,000 thingy?
That's not the coincidence.
Ah, okay.
You blew it, Barrett.
I blew it. No one knows anything right now. Apparently not even Jay. So, yeah.
Coincidence. Is there a $1,000 reference that I'm missing?
No.
No.
Well, sort of.
I thought there was. No.
There's a $1,000 check in Barrett's pocket. For us.
All right. We made our goal. Thank you.
Yeah. I must have misunderstood something pre-show is what I'm thinking. I thought I was paying attention, but
no,
obviously I was not.
You didn't.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if the word coincidence is... By happenstance, or as it turns out.
Coincidentally, yeah.
Conveniently.
As it were.
As it were, exactly. So there's a phone ringing. Thank you for that call. That'd be awesome if that was for us. It is for us because we're on the air.
It is now. It's 8 o'clock. That's our pledge.
All right, so our goal tonight.
Bob and Saeed wrestling for it. Just kidding.
Our goal tonight is $1,000. So, you know, for Technology Bites, a show that's been on the air for... Coming up on our 20th anniversary, 20 years, that's a goal that's well within our reach. We should be able to make that goal, no problemo. And here is
that's like $3,800 from when Technology Bytes started, and Technology Bytes beginning your dollars.
When adjusted for inflation,
I was told there'd be no math during this fundraiser.
Well,
can I go to Google and have Google look that up for me and do the conversion? Otherwise,
coincidentally,
as it were.
So we have a goal of $1,000, and first of all, we want to thank a few people who pledged via the tip jar prior to the show. So we have Philippa, who called it or pledged in or webbed in from Houston, Texas. Jeff, our old friend Jeff, who I haven't seen in a while, but he should come out.
Is that Mr. R?
That is Mr.
He's,
R.
He's on
Thanks,
the
Jeff.
He's on the interwebs.
He is, and Steve Philippa? From Philippa? Cleveland, Georgia.
Awesome. Whoa, Steve. Not to keep going to Cleveland, Texas and keep on going.
No, yeah, drive to Cleveland, Texas and realize you're in the wrong Cleveland and keep going. So with that, we're at $55 towards our $1,000 goal. So that's
Woo-hoo!
Something.
That's
nice. But here's the real...
It's like a priming the pump.
Yeah. And so here's the real deal is that our goal of $1,000... You, the listening audience, are only responsible for raising $500 tonight.
What?
Yes.
Say what? Tell us how, Jay.
$500 because
something magical.
Something magical happened.
Yes,
we have a longtime fan of Technology Bites who has helped us out in years past, named Ian, has agreed that if we raise $500 tonight, he will match that with $500 of his own dollars. So we will be at $1,000 as soon as we raise $500. So there's that.
And we're actually
What?
We're actually over 10% there.
We're already 10% of the way there. Yes.
Are we going to rename the show Technology Bites, sponsored by Ian?
Ian the Tech Fairy.
There we go.
Yeah.
Ian Bites.
Ian Bite. No, that's kind of... sorry, Ian.
Ian rules.
Ian rules. No, Ian has helped us out with some generous pledges, and he is one of those ones who makes the generous pledges and actually follows through.
He's done this before for us.
He has. He just every once in a while, he pops up and says, hey, you know, it's time to do something special. I want to really help out in a big way. And for tonight's show... he has got $500 on the table, so we have to raise $500 to collect it.
And these donations, by the way, are tax deductible. So if you would like to make a $500 matching donation, it is tax deductible.
And those of you, you know, like many of us, I'm sure that you've gone through this recent tax thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm still...
Feels like every year.
Still hurts.
It seems to happen sooner every year. But yeah, so tax time. So when you're thinking about if you do itemize your taxes,
and
you know,
you probably should.
Yeah, you can take those charitable contributions off of your income and reduce your tax burden.
Mm-hmm.
And you will reduce our burden by pledging as well. So 713-526-5738 is the number to call. Now, I know some people may not like to dial phones. You know, especially now that they're trying to figure out their new Apple Watches.
Google Voice, Skype Outdial. You got options?
If you don't like using the phone, you can go, you know, we won't know you pledged, but if you go to kpft.org, the website, there's a tip jar that you can use there and make a pledge online. If you do that, we encourage you to do that if that's the way you want to do it. But if you do it that way, please go by geekradio.com and send a message. Use the contact form there and let us know that you made a pledge and how much so that we can tally that up and give you, you know, report on our success or failure, as it were.
This is important because we've talked about it before, wrapping up fundraiser, you know, early if we actually hit our goal. But with the matching, really, we've got a goal of $445 at this point, and we could hit that within 2 hours. We could put this to bed in 20 minutes, and we could do a regular show.
Holy That's right. cow.
Yeah, so if we raise $500,
then you lose me, though.
But no, you're staying. You're staying.
You can hang out. We can talk about Apple Watches with you.
We're going to push it up to $999, and Flick and I will just hang on to that last dollar until 10 o'clock.
That'd be so much fun.
So if we can raise the $500, as soon as we raise it, we will stop asking for money. So.
But it's not yet.
Well, we haven't done it yet.
So we're asking for money.
Now, was that phone ringing? Was that for us, or was that for something else?
I think that was for something else.
Something else. Boo. Okay. Boo. Phone calls for
so what's
else.
The number, Jay?
713-526-5738. And you know, this is our last fundraiser before our 20th anniversary, so we would like to have a successful fundraiser here tonight. Your job has been made a lot easier thanks to Ian, but it will not add up to anything if we don't get that $500 in here tonight. So $500 for a full 2 hours of Technology Bites, that's something we could easily do through the support of our listeners. So give us a call at 713-526-5738. And, you know, we've got some... Now, I heard something, Ernesto. Mm-hmm. What did I hear about an iPad mini?
Ooh, you who are listening, and you in the studio, not me, tragically, although my snake might. Just kidding.
Is Kiwi here?
Just kidding. No, he is not.
Kiwi the pledge snake needs to make an appearance.
He will absolutely make an appearance, I promise. So, but anyone who makes a pledge, whether you're new or renewing it from now until tomorrow,
gets
as a matter
an iPad?
Of fact, but you should do it right now, is going to be entered into a drawing for an iPad mini.
What's the minimum pledge for that?
Just your regular old membership pledge.
$40. Like,
yeah, $40.
$40? So a $40 pledge will get you in to a raffle for an iPad mini.
Yep.
Excellent.
And which is not, hey, those are, I can tell you right now, just because of the number of pledges we have, those are not bad odds at all. So, hey, if you want to make that pledge, you can be in that pool.
And the drawing for the first one is tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yes.
So
you should do it today.
So if you pledge during this show, get your pledge down, you will be entered into. Now, can you pledge multiple times to get multiple chances?
I think you're only supposed to do it once, okay. I think. I'd have to go look at the fine print.
So whatever
on
you pledge,
the wall, but...
whatever you pledge gets you in there one time.
Yeah.
You could have other members of your family.
I would like to make a billion, 1 billionth pledges, please.
1 billion pledges. My cats and dogs. And
can we use derivatives?
Special someones.
So if you, you know,
said no math.
Bitcoin.
So for $40 pledge, you'll get a membership to KPFT. It's the basic entry level, mm-hmm. and you'll get thrown in the hat for a chance to win an iPad Mini, which could be a cool thing. And I think obviously a Technology Bites listener should win the iPad. Absolutely should win the iPad.
Yes.
713-526-5738 is the number to call to make your pledge. Now, if you want to pledge more than $40, you still get the chance for the iPad, but we do have other thank you gifts available.
We do.
We have, do we have like a bunch of cool tickets and stuff?
We do. Let's see. Avid Brothers and Old Crow Medicine Show coming out. You can be there at the Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion. Those are reserved seats, so you don't have to sit out in the grass in the heat, because it's going to be happening, I think, in June or July. I forget the exact date. George Clinton is coming to town.
Who? George Clinton.
George Clinton. Hell yeah. That's going to be a lot of fun. Funk. So George Clinton is going to be a great show, doing a little bit of Parliament, Funkadelic, and pretty much everything in between. That's going to be fun. Let's see. Who else is coming to town? Sean Colvin's coming to town, and World Party is coming to town. And let me mosey on over to the Big Pledge Tote Board and tell you about all of the fantastic shows. Ben Folds is coming to town. Todd Rundgren's coming to town. Steve Earle is coming to town. Beth Hart is coming to town. Blackberry Smoke is coming to town. Eric Bibb, Butch Hancock. We've got Mavis Staples and Joan Osborne. That's going to be a fun show, actually. Quite fun. Lil Ed and the Imperials coming to town. Blues Brothers Review coming to town. Willis Allen Ramsey coming to town. Leon Russell coming to town. The one and only Subdudes coming to town. We'll get you there, too. But we do need you to give us a call. 713-526-5738. Oh, Sounds of Texas Music Series. Don't want to miss that. Two shows you're going to get for your Dollar Day pledge.
Dollar a day.
Don't die. We need you.
Yeah, I was almost there.
To give you an idea, even on the basic $40 pledge level, that's only 11 cents a day.
Yes.
I mean, I could fish 11 cents out of my day, out of my pocket every day for a year and not miss it. I would not, there's not going to be a situation, I don't think, in my life where I'm going to go, if I had 11 cents more than I've got right now today, my life would be better.
So it's just a big thing, a change in your pocket.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's behind.
Seems legit.
713-526-573. We'd like to get that first call in here tonight. Get somebody in there in the raffle for the iPad Mini.
I do see 11 cents on the, you know, like on the street, just out and about. You don't have to go to your own pockets. Like if you just look down once a day for Technology Bites, you could probably scrape the money together, I would think.
You know, here's a better way to look at it is if you pledge and pay $40 now, you'll make that $40 up in scrounge money over the course of the year. Because it's not going to be just 11 cents. Every once in a while, there's a quarter, you know.
And you'll be vigilant.
You'll be paying attention.
You'll need to get that back.
Every time you bend over to pick up a dime and a penny or a quarter or a nickel, you say, I'm supporting KPFT.
Every time you bend over, you'll think of Technology Bites.
Oh, man.
You really don't mean to take the show in this direction.
Ooh, okay. Barrett.
Here's where I'm going to leave
now. It's a family show. Man.
Oh, there's
mean the phone ring.
I'm just calling to tell you how disgusted I am with your host.
A call for a little bit of the adult chat tonight.
The first complaint.
Call 1-900-KPFT.
Technology Bites After Hours.
$40 to get us off your lawn.
There you go.
I'll be by to pick.
Oh, somebody's calling. That's an actual pledge.
It's an actual pledge. Yes. And what's awesome is that when people do call and pledge, and the phones ring like that, it gets everybody in the studio excited. And I think it gets people excited back home, you know, out in the listening audience to hear that people are participating in the fundraiser. I really do feel that, you know, this is an opportunity tonight with the $500 goal. We've struggled in the past to try to raise our goals and stuff. So having a halfway there, actually over halfway there now, is really a great place to be. But we really do need you to step up tonight and do this. And as I mentioned, we'd like to just not be begging for money during the course of these 2 hours. We'd like to just do a regular show. And also, if it's any incentive, this would be, if we make our goal tonight, I think it'll be Lee's first successful fundraising episode.
It will be. I would love to see a successful fundraiser episode. I have yet to witness the magic and glory of crossing the finish line, and I would like you to help me make that dream come true.
See?
Every pledge is one more step on the road towards a happy evening for me that can end in joy rather than me going out to my car in the parking lot and just sobbing.
Subtext. You don't want to be. Yeah, see.
Lee's going to think we're really lame. Hey, another phone. Wow.
A little bit more for the adult chat tonight. Here we go.
So Lee crying.
It's adult drama, yeah. It's like that was a Lifetime show. I would. Maybe Oxygen.
Oxygen, yeah.
Here we go.
So, you know, it would be nice. You know, Lee has joined us only recently and come to find out that his wife learned that he is a full-time participant of the show by listening to me say that on the air.
Where did she think you were Wednesday?
We talked about it, but I don't think that we'd actually gotten around to, like, actually, like, you know, she knew where I was going every Wednesday night. It wasn't like, hi, okay, honey, I'm going to see you later. I'm going to just vanish for, like, 3 hours.
She smelled perfume and saw lipstick on the cuff, and then she was horrified to find out it was actually Technology Bites. Oh, nice. If only.
I was wearing a black shirt, and I came home with Jay's beard hairs all over. I didn't understand.
Oh, goodness.
What's going on?
He had a special night that night, I'll tell you what.
We got Lee's from ours to replace Dwight.
That's correct.
Dwight, from the Cron.
Dwight is croning it up, and I my daytime job. I run the technology review section at Ars Technica, which is a big old technology news website. We're owned by Condé Nast out of New York. We're a big media company. That's what I do with my day. But in the evenings, especially on Wednesday evenings,
he breaks free.
He gets the lint remover on and hides the evidence.
No, and this is a great thing. I love being a part of the show. I love the stuff that we do here on KPFT, and I love the stuff that the radio
station. Another phone ringing. Thank you
for
that.
Thank
now
you,
we
guys.
Saw Dwight's story arc, and it ends in a whole bunches of pictures of cats for you. So if you're okay with that.
Well, you know what? That's true.
Maybe too late.
And I, we don't have any kids, so it's probably all we can do is as we advance into senility, we simply can just acquire pets and have them take care of us. That's my plan.
Well, over the course of the last 20 years, Technology Bites has had an interesting cast of characters roam through these studios, and Lee is just the latest in a long, long list of notable people. We've had hackers of various stripes and different people.
Posers.
Would we want to try to get everyone out for the 20th, or is that a bad idea?
I think I don't know how it would happen. I don't even remember some of their names.
Yeah.
So, you know, Lee came on board and it's been a great addition, but it would be nice. You know, I feel I feel self-conscious during the fundraiser because, you know, at least everybody here, the hosts that have been here longer than Lee are kind of used to failure.
Well, we've seen the high times too. We've had that one taste of success to get us through all the failures.
Yeah, I mean,
Lee hasn't had that yet.
It's been kind of an up and down ride for us, but we know it's like the changing of the seasons. But for Lee, he's only been experienced winter.
I embrace failure.
I know you do. He owns failure.net.
He owns right failure.
But it would be nice to have Lee experience a success here tonight and see us make our goal. We've got a real reasonable goal. We're already well over halfway there.
And we have all kinds of tech news we're holding hostage that we can't talk about.
So what we want to do, speaking of tech news, what we want to do is we're going to hopefully let the phones ring a little bit more and get some people to thank that have called in. But I'd like to go out to San Antonio and do the Technology Bites info shot.
We'll take your pledges at 713-526-5738 while the news is on.
Go Groove.
Yeah, so call up 713-526-5738 or 713-526-LSDU, and we'd be happy to take your call.
It
your pledge.
Is LSDU.
It is. Hey, there's Ernesto.
Ernesto.
Are you here to tell us that we got a $500 pledge?
Mylon Bob has some good news for you. Without Kiwi the Pledge Snake even. Oh, my God.
Thank you, Lucy.
Really? What do we got? Oh, his father.
Ah,
oh, go ahead.
Let's have it, Bob.
Let's hear it, Bob.
Well, you sure you want to know?
I do want to know.
I think we would like to know.
What can I get from you for divulging this information?
You can continue to come hang out at KPFT.
You don't know what I do around here. You wouldn't talk to me like that.
No, we love you, Smiling Bob. And we, you know, I don't know. What do you want? A foot massage from a geisha girl?
No.
We've got
massage from a geek.
Flicked it in an oriental dress is about as close as we can get.
I do have a leg cramp all the time.
Groove House?
Hey, I'm out of my league. It's Lee's turn. Lee's the new guy.
How badly do you want us to make our goal tonight, Lee?
Well,
it's going to be funny if he comes back and say we got a $5 pledge.
Tears now or tears later.
Well, All right, so Smiley, what do you got for
us?
You
could put a couple zeros behind it.
Really?
Whoa. Yeah.
Somebody,
really?
Somebody called in and pledged $500.
You probably know this person. You know, somewhere out there in the ethos, he's a cohort, I'm sure, in technology and it,
Bill Gates.
Well,
Steve Jobs from beyond the grave.
Elon Musk.
Durst and ask him for a donation.
What's that?
He I think he was going to do Ray Hill's roast before he got put in jail. Robert Durst.
Robert. Oh. Har-har.
But I mean, you know, he's sitting there. I am going to follow through, I think. But this person's name is Jonathan. And thank you very much, Jonathan.
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 Wow. You made my week.
So just go ahead and restate here, because I think we may have bantered over it, just to make sure we...
What exactly happened? What did just happen?
Were the zeros in front of the five or
after? The first call of the evening was answered by myself, and I spoke with a gentleman named Jonathan, and he gave $5 with two zeros behind it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So and no decimal point. No, between
well,
the five and the
if
zero,
I count two more zeros.
So it's okay. So this is so we're renaming the show Technology Bites, brought
and,
to you by Ian and with, Jonathan.
I'm not done.
Oh,
not done.
Right, okay.
Christopher called as well.
Okay,
thank you
all
very
right.
much,
hey,
Christopher.
Christopher,
for supporting Technology Bites and in its rather new format. And Christopher made a very generous donation too, of $1 with a couple of zeros behind.
Wow!
Wow! Nice.
Outstanding.
Thank
you. Yeah, we're what? Four fifths there, three fifths, and his comments were, "If there are any good chefs out there, you like to cook, don't you, Jay?"
I'm not allowed pledge. To cook.
He likes to drink wine.
They should pledge.
If you, oh, so
we have a few chefs that donate food to the you know the sustenance of the,
I
of the
think
volunteers
if,
here.
If Jonathan's who I think it is, mm-hmm. is he the chef? Is he the cook? See the one?
No. Christopher.
Christopher. Nice. I think Christopher was the one that promised to bring us some food at one point.
And he has.
He's up in the Oak Forest.
With Chef Tony, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks, guys.
Thanks for that.
Huge thank you.
Huge thank you.
Huge thank you. So we're done.
So can we? Yeah. Can we get the official list and everything
almost.
From?
What do you mean almost?
Well, looks like you're looking at about 1,000 tonight. I think. I don't know why this.
Now, did you not hear the part about that we had $500 in the kitty?
We're about to make you smile more, Bob.
Well, I hadn't.
Yes.
But, yeah, so what shall we do? Switch the phones? Oh, you don't do phones.
We don't do phones. Well, we can.
we'll leave them open for pledges.
You guys are welcome to call in, because we're going to do this next week, too, I believe.
We're going to leave the phones open if you want to call and pledge.
You want to volunteer to speak with your listeners tonight? I mean,
they're welcome to talk to us.
Time
if you want to switch, if you want to switch the phones... in the new format, we haven't been taking as many calls, and I think we'd just like to revel in having this big success tonight in the first.
Well, I do. Jonathan and Christopher, I want to thank you both for representing Technology Bites and KPFT for this entire evening. Very early on this evening. That's just wonderful.
We do appreciate
and
Jonathan.
And all the listeners that are tuned in tonight, look at this, and you're being carried, and... You know, you could still call in and celebrate this with a few bucks for KPFT to keep
That's
it going.
Right. Yeah, if you want to call in and pledge throughout the course of the show, we might mention it just briefly here and there as we go throughout the course of the evening.
Do we have one or two more weeks of this? How
we
many
have
more
two
weeks?
More weeks.
So, not to discourage people from calling, but we do have two more weeks of this.
Yes, well, we got two more.
I didn't
more.
Say that. Call tonight.
So if we can do it, pay it forward this week for next week, that would be good, too.
Yeah,
or for the third week.
Close out the fund drive tonight.
The goal is $1,000every night for three episodes. So we're there for this one. If we want to raise $2,000 more, we could be done for the whole 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And I know that's extremely optimistic, although I know that it's out there.
But we're for this show, this,
we should
this
keep.
It?
You want to keep the? Should we? We could quietly raise money.
We're going to
slow pitch in the back. We're
going to
do a little bit of a normal show. Yeah.
We're going to do the regular show. We're going to slow pitch in the background. So why don't we do this? Well, thank Jonathan and Christopher and Ian for help. And also, let me go back and say
Philippa,
thanks to Philippa, Jeff, and Steve, who did the web pledges.
Yes.
So we're well up over $1,100 tonight. Our goal was $1,000, so about $1,150.
20 minutes, 25 minutes?
Yeah, about 25 minutes. It's right now we're at a half hour into the show.
We still didn't break the record.
Is this what happiness feels like, Jay?
It sure is. It sure is. All right. Well, thanks, everybody. We're going to go to San Antonio and do the Technology Bites Info Shot and just enjoy this.
It's the Technology Bites Info Shot. Technology news and commentary by Peter Hughes. Injected directly into your skull.
Well, you hear a lot about, you know, zero-day vulnerabilities. This week, there was a big one, a very big one. If you have a WordPress blog, listen close. If you manage it yourself, obviously, if WordPress manages it for you, you don't have to worry. But this zero-day, it came out on Tuesday, and the patch is out. So you want to patch your WordPress install if you haven't already. Essentially, there's two newly discovered threats that allow attackers to take full control of the web server. Attack codes has been released that targets one of the latest versions of WordPress, making it a zero-day exploit that could touch off a series of site hijackings throughout the internet. What they are is that they're called cross-site scripting bugs, XSS bugs, which allows an attacker to inject code into HTML content received by administrators who maintain the website. Both attacks work by embedding malicious code into the comments section that appear by default at the bottom of a WordPress blog or article post. From that, attackers can change passwords, add new administrators, or take just about any other legitimate administrative action that you can do. The most serious of the two vulnerabilities is in WordPress version 4.2, because there wasn't any patch that fix that. Now that's been corrected in the meantime, but initially 4.2 was naked and vulnerable. Essentially, when an administrator viewed the posted comment to review it to post it, that would run the code. Or if the attacker if they had an account where their comments automatically, if they're logged in, their comments automatically cycle and get posted, then that would also work. So essentially, there's some simple JavaScript code that goes, you put it in a comment and then add a massive amount of text, about 66,000 characters or more than 64K worth. Once the comment is processed by someone logged in with WordPress administrator rights, the malicious code would be executed with no outward indication that an attack's underway. By default, like I said, WordPress doesn't automatically publish comments unless they're approved by an administrator. But if you're on one of those where it's approved, where it's automatically approved, then it would go immediately through. It's similar to one that was disclosed last week by researcher Cedric von Bockhaven. That attack also embedded malicious comments or malicious code into comments that were executed when viewed by admins. That was fixed when WordPress 4.2 came out. This is something sanitizing what comes in. Obviously, it gets more and more complicated to keep track of. And, you know, kudos to WordPress for patching it very quickly. But it means that the burden is on you. If you manage WordPress sites, the burden is on you to make sure that that WordPress is patched, and so that people don't try to take advantage of the bug. And the other thing, it's a light news night because of with FunDrive. But even though we have had the spectacular performance tonight and can move on, so I don't have as many news items, but I'm sure we can add some more in the discussion part afterwards. The big thing is right now, Microsoft has a conference going on. And so there's some announcements from that. that are interesting. One of the big things, Microsoft announced today a four-pronged effort to bring developers and their apps to Windows at its Build conference today. Now, one of these prongs, they announced a way for web developers to present their sites as apps on Windows was already announced at Mobile World Congress earlier in the year. The second prong is logical but not altogether surprising. In Windows 10, developers will be able to specially prepare existing Windows apps and sell them through the Windows Store, you know, like Win32, .NET WinForms, .NET WPF. Unlike traditional Windows application installation experience, these apps will be guaranteed to install, update, and uninstall cleanly, which is one of the important things that store apps do to ensure that users feel confident trying apps out and getting rid of them. So that one's kind of cool. The next two prongs are more surprising. Microsoft is going after Android and iOS developers. One of them is called Project Islandwood, which would allow iOS developers to take their iOS apps and build them for Windows. Microsoft has developed an Objective-C toolchain and middleware layer that provide the operating system APIs that iOS apps expect. And a select group of third parties have been using the Islandwood tools already, with Candy Crush Saga for Windows Phone being one of the first apps built this way. Apparently, the developers had to change only a few percent of the code in order to fully port it to Windows Phone. And then there's the other side of it is Android, and it's called Project Astoria. Rumors of Android apps on Windows have been floating around for some time, and in Windows 10, Microsoft is delivering on them. Astoria will allow Android apps to run in Windows, specifically Windows Mobile. And apparently that's now the official name for Windows on phones and sub-8-inch tablets. It will include an Android runtime layer that will let them run existing Android apps unmodified, both Java and C++. Unlike Islandwood, which will require developers to recompile their software to bring it to Windows, Astoria will in principle work with any old Android app, without requiring the developer to do anything but publish their app in the store, as long as the APK sticks to the APIs that Astoria will provide. So, if you're an Android dev, you may want to look into that. Let's see. The broader theme, their idea is that they want developers to be able to put their stuff on the Windows 10 platform from anywhere, and to, you know, maybe incline them to join in. One of the other pieces of news is that they, you know, the Spartan browser, the replacement for Internet Explorer, has been renamed Microsoft Edge. It's edgy. It's cool. And then the other thing they said is that this is their prediction today at the Build conference in San Francisco. They said that they expect a billion people, Microsoft expects a billion people to be using Windows 10 in the software's first 2 to 3 years, which is signals optimism in their push to revive Windows and make it more useful on smaller devices. That's part of the idea, is these small tablets and stuff will increase the numbers. Let's see, Terry Myerson is the Windows chief, and he made that forecast at the conference. He unveiled the tools to add Android apps and iOS apps. And Microsoft is basically trying to use Windows 10 to jumpstart the personal computer market and entice more tablet and smartphone buyers to choose Windows models. They're also betting that easier development of mobile apps and the ability to repurpose work done for other operating systems will get more engineers to build Windows programs, which could help, you know, users come along. Myerson said in an interview, one thing we haven't had, a great Windows release could drive people to refresh their PC. He says, I see people with these Windows 7 PCs, and I look at a great new 2-in-1 device with touch, and I think there's so much more you could have. I'm a little more optimistic. The other thing they demonstrated was their hologram program, HoloLens, Windows Holographic is the name of the software, along with a headset with glasses called HoloLens, which will let users see and interact with holograms while tracking their voices, movements, and surroundings. They demonstrated the program today, projecting 3D images of apps on the walls and furniture, including one vacationers could use to check the weather while they traveled. The company also showed off a three-dimensional application for anatomy students at Case Western Reserve University. They're apparently working with Autodesk, Disney, Unity Technologies, and Dassault Systems SA on applications for HoloLens. So they're moving forward on that. They also showed HoloLens working with a robot navigating through a room. With Windows 10, Microsoft is introducing what it calls universal apps, which work regardless of the size of the device. Basically, so you're talking about multiple resolutions, you know, small screens, big screens, etc. The developers will have to add code if they want to tweak the programs to only show certain things on, say, an Xbox, or to make use of 3D holograms using HoloLens. And they have a list of companies that are committed to creating Windows 10 universal apps. And they demonstrated Tencent's WeChat app, as well as an app from USA Today that keeps track of what articles someone is reading on a PC and opens the same one when that user shifts to a mobile app. The Xbox version of the app only loads stories that have video content. And then they have their App Store and the Edge browser. So that's the big things that they're expecting out of this. This Windows does have some pressure on it. Windows sales have been suffering along with a declining PC market after corporate customers upgraded to new machines last year because of the end of support of Windows XP. Now that buying cycle has ended and global PC shipments dropped 5.2% in the first quarter, according to Gartner. Last week, Microsoft said sales of Windows to PC makers to install on their machines dropped 19% for the Pro version and 26% for the other versions in the most recent quarter. So they're betting a lot on Windows 10. And, you know, I must say, at least from what I've seen so far on it, they're certainly making a reasonable attempt at getting more companies to be excited about it and maybe have need for it and move on. And I guess then, you know, I guess the last thing leading into the discussion part is, you know, of course, there's a big event for the, you know, this Friday I don't think we've mentioned yet, which is, an assemblage of a ragtag group of heroes who are going to hang out at Cones for the Geek Gathering on Friday. Of course, unless you're going to go see the Avengers. And that's the news. That's the news, yes. At least to end the part where only I talk.
I'm sorry.
And we're all up to the floor.
We fell asleep. No, we didn't fall asleep. We were actually listening, especially once you start talking about the Geek Gathering.
When you thought it was maybe about the Avengers, your ears sort of pricked up.
Wait,
and then...
what? Uh-oh.
I was trying to imply, I was trying to blur the lines between the Avengers and
between,
the Geek Gathering.
Between reality and our deepest superhero-related fantasies.
The Avengers,
yes.
The Avengers was that 60s detective, British detective.
Yes,
yeah, they did a movie of it, remake of a movie with Fiennes
and
Thurman.
And Uma Thurman.
Yeah, I don't think I liked the movie very much.
No, it was terrible.
I can't really remember the movie, which means I probably didn't like it.
If you didn't like it, then you
did not leave an
go
impression.
Ahead and just not like it now, because I'll go ahead and tell you it was terrible. But tell us, Jay, of this magical gathering of geeks, because I know you have details. The one that's happening on Friday, the Geek Gathering.
There is a gathering of geeks, the Geek Gathering, to celebrate our victory tonight. We are going to gather at Cons. Or is I going to leave that for you got a Barrett time?
I didn't think we were going to hit our goal. I know.
You know, you're supposed to, you know, want to, you know, speak truth into being and, you know, all that stuff.
Well,
positivity and all that.
Yeah, or something.
You got
to so you can plan your perfect, Geek Friday. Come to the Geek Gathering, hang out with the geeks, have a few drinks, have some interesting food, you have interesting conversation, and then it ends early enough that you can go and catch a late evening showing of the new Avengers movie, if that's your inclination.
So we're going to have superhero cars out, right? Possibly, or quasi-superhero cars?
We're going to have... I know Con, the owner of the place where we have the Geek Gathering, has bought a 1970 Ford Galaxy, which is pretty spiffy looking. You can go ahead and turn down the mic in the lobby, I think, because they're just yammering on.
It's like a Galaxy 500? Is that the same?
I don't know if it's a Galaxy 500.
It's still a hoss of a car, though.
Like an S6?
Let me see.
Like a Galaxy S6?
It's not an S6, I don't think.
Or an S5?
What?
Oh, ba-dum-bum.
Samsung
is a phone.
Oh.
Ba-dum-bum. I was like, I don't know an S6.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not a car.
Probably doesn't even have a...
No, it stands for straight six. It's the engine.
Yeah.
S6.
What kind of Snapdragon processor does it have?
But I was hoping, and it's still just... If it happens, it's going to barely happen, but I should have my Cutlass. I hope to have my Cutlass, which with the new top and the redone interior and tuned up engine and all that.
Nice.
Which will completely smoke this piece of crap.
Yeah. Drag races down Milam's.
We're racing for pink slips. And Barrett, you're going to have some.
Yeah, I'll bring out a Soviet steed. So a stolen.
What kind of muscle car is that?
It's not really a muscle car. It's more like a tractor.
It's
mechanically questionable.
The muscle is needed to even just push this thing into a driveway
this
when it
the,
breaks down.
This is the
Ural.
Ural.
I think it's the
call
Russian.
It a Ducat, but it's not, right? It's
Soviet
Ural.
Russia motorcycle rides.
So more or less, the deal was, I guess, that I'll tell the story again, I'm sure, Friday night, but tensions were kind of like, there was tension between Hitler and Stalin. Stalin didn't really trust Hitler when they signed, the little non-aggression.
But then they bought a bike together?
Yeah, they did. They went in halvesies, and then Hitler didn't keep up on the payments, and Stalin said... That kills friendships. It really does. And then you saw kind of what happened.
Anytime money gets into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They made a buddy road trip movie.
World War II, in a nutshell.
Dictators ride across Russia on a motorcycle.
And everything was fine until they got to Italy.
Yeah. Oh, Mussolini.
And then romance messed up everything.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, more or less hand.
They ripped. This is this is actually.
All right, let's rein this in just a little
bring
bit
in.
Because we're not actually talking about World War II history.
No, no,
we're
no.
Talking about
someone copied just like China copies iPhones. Russia did it first. They copied a German motorcycle, not final bolt by bolt, and then made a ton of them, and then kind of beat the Germans at their own game in World War II.
The World War II German motorcycle that you see in all the movies with the. Motorbike and the sidecar.
Indiana Jones. It was on the what's the movie we always talk about? Nazis on the Dark Side of the Moon. Help me out.
Oh, that's
Iron Sky.
Iron Sky. It's an Iron Sky. Like when they actually have those on the moon when
nice.
They're riding up. They're on the moon.
So there's that motorcycle, that iconic German motorcycle, and Russia made a million of them, not very well.
Yeah, more or less.
And so, you bought one?
Yeah.
And
years later.
I had too many running vehicles. There was too much practicality.
It's kind of like, the U.S. built the space shuttle, and then the Russians built the energy.
No, it's called Buran.
Oh, it was
actually,
on the
Energia. Superior to the U.S. space
except
shuttle.
That it didn't fly.
And also the other one, the one they launched the other day didn't do so well.
The shuttle was called Buran. It flew twice. It flew once. It was an automated
flight.
They
did land it.
It landed all automated. It was, you know what? If we go down this road, I'll spend the rest of the show talking about the evolution of Soviet space. So we probably shouldn't.
Someone's going to mention Laika, and then I'm going
to
cry.
I actually went to the Soviet Space Museum in St. Petersburg.
I
have a bunch of pictures.
Well, I'm sure it's amazing.
Yeah.
So at any rate, coming up at the Geek Gathering, there will be at least some motor tech.
There will, and I'll talk about Soviet space there if anybody wants.
Old analog tech, and then lots of Lee tech, whatever you want, perestroika, all the way up to Mir.
We can
talk about
talk
how
Iran,
many...
We can talk about N1, we can talk about Korolev.
Flicted speaks a little bit of Russian. There's
talk
some
about,
Russian
talk about how many Russian satellites burned into planets.
Yes.
Let's talk about the one that's spinning out of control.
Ooh, yeah, the Progress resupply
Progress 59, not much progress there.
No, it's making progress in its own orbit.
In its own
flying away.
All right. So anyway, Geek Gathering is this.
We're all giddy because we made our goal. Yeah. You're not going to be able to rein us in tonight.
Okay. Fine.
Sorry, Dad.
Well, you know, I'm just sad because my car may not be ready, and I was really hoping to like have that motor meetup, and it just, you know, like anything else. It's
should
just
we
one...
sing the Grease Lightning song for you?
Go Grease Lightning.
It's just. Well,
it's a real. It's a real what?
It's a real what?
It's in the song.
It's a Grease Lightning song.
What kind of wagon?
Yeah. What kind of wagon is it?
Well, on the downside, I may not get to participate in all the showiness of these vehicles, but on the
are you gonna have to race them on foot?
On the plus side is that.
So you're saying that I should bring my car?
Yours isn't running either, thank God.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
I just need to jump the battery.
Yeah, bring your
car. And rework
car
the cars.
What I was going to say is that because Barrett is going to win Friday night because if his vehicle gets there.
All I'm going to do is show up to win this, right?
Right.
All that's iffy. Yeah, that's iffy.
Do you have a Kaiser helmet you can wear with it?
Well, people are going to look at Cohen's Galaxy and they're going to think that's nice. Ooh, and then Barrett's going to come up with his goggles on and his motorcycle with a sidecar and a reverse gear and. And if it does actually get all the way there, it'll be very impressive.
I'm going to try to get a Russian bear. I'm going to get a Russian bear to push me the last mile if it comes down to it. I'm online right now.
Barrett's busy tracking a route to cones that involves no turns.
So you're driving through the Montrose, right? So you might be able to do that.
You might be able to forward find a Russian bear.
And he's going
to
have the sidecar filled with like tech, like a monitor.
We are going to. Yeah, I'm going to. This is the nice part is I can actually put a decent amount of tech in there. Now the downside of this, what I think Pete alluded to, is that the best warning sticker I've seen on a piece of anything so far. It says that left and right hand turns may be dangerous. So pretty much,
wow.
Just point me towards cones and let me go.
As the crow flies.
The shortest distance between
shortest
two
distance
points.
Wins.
Could be dangerous, sir.
It's what the Euro
might not
means.
Want to put too much tech in that sidecar.
We'll put some tech in there. It's not a lot of faith.
You should put a Russian bear in the side.
Yeah, really.
Are we talking about an actual bear?
Yes.
Like in a circus act? Does it have a little hat?
It's going to have a little birthday hat on.
Nice!
You should get Pedo Bear.
Uh-huh. Here come the phone call.
Well, I was about to say, I promised the Russian bear a fifth of vodka and a date with Lee, but I bet we could make a switch.
All right. So, Pete, rein us in. This is up to you.
Jay's on our side now. You've lost him.
We do have, there's plenty of technology news. You got into Build a little bit. I know Build, I mean, we were covering Build all day today. There's just massive stuff Microsoft has announced.
Well, there's a lot of money stuff, too. We were talking earlier, I guess, before the show or during the break about, you know, like how we did about $1,000 in 25 minutes, but Twitter did about $8 billion.
Twitter had lost a tremendous amount.
The opposite direction, and over one tweet. Direction. One tweet, the $8 billion tweet.
And then tomorrow, we can kind of stack these topics up because we're about to hit the top of the hour here. But tomorrow is going to be the Tesla big reveal that has been spoiled, six away from Sunday by all the different media organizations. It's going to be the Tesla home battery announcement. Hopefully there's going to be a little bit of extra stuff in there because as it is, the announcement is interesting, but doesn't seem like it's world changing. Although, who was it? Let me see. Someone just tweeted this.
Ooh, it's going to be a Tesla Segway.
MSN just tweeted just a couple of hours ago. New Tesla battery could end electricity bills. But that may be a little hyper. What do you say? Hyperbolic.
I'm sorry. You said that was upworthy or
MSN?
MSN. Oh,
okay. MSN said that it could.
You won't believe what they found out.
I guess it could end electricity bills. And like, I could fly through the roof right now, like with superpowers. But it's not very likely.
Someone did have a pretty cool article out there as far as, you know, our aging infrastructure, to where we actually are going to need a lot of storage batteries because our electrical grids are actually having a pretty hard time moving energy in and out between peak capacity times. So,
well,
UPS
if you think about
home,
it, for in the summer in Texas, if you put some of those around in critical areas, then you charge them up at night when the demand isn't that high, and then at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when the hottest part of the day is happening, you could avoid brownouts.
So it's a little bit like solar. Like people have had, you know, battery backups for solar, but the thing with solar is, you know, what Pete just said is impossible to do. You charge during the day and then, you know, most cases. It feels like it's hot at night in Texas, but it's not. There's no sun. So, yeah, this actually lets you buy power when it's cheapest and then, you know, power it back into your local grid, back into the home when it's not.
Yes.
Well, you hope that there's some, I don't know, some twist. The pricing that they announced is not that different than what's already out there. So one would hope that they have something extra to add to it. There are some rumors about a leasing program, perhaps. And, you know, if their batteries are going to last longer, or if they have a better guarantee that's going to help make that sale, then it could make a real difference.
I wonder if there would ever be any kind of subsidy or anything like that, you know, like there were for the EV cars a handful of years ago, just to take some pressure off the national grid.
Unfortunately, it seems like the companies, that the power companies and all that, instead of embracing the future, have been spending a lot of time and money getting the laws passed to take away any subsidies or any, you know, they've rolled back in several states. They've rolled back requirements for renewable energy and gotten rid of subsidies. The thing about it is solar, for instance, has kind of hit that tipping point where it's, you know, economically viable even without the assistance, you know, the price per kilowatt and all that stuff.
I mean, if there was but, the same type of solar
there's lease, been a real attack on that lately.
If there was the same ease of lease with solar stuff here in Texas as you could do in California. Like if Elon Musk like rolled up to my house with a brochure from what's his company? Solar City, I guess is his solar concern, and was like, I'll lease you solar panels starting tomorrow. I'd sign up in a second. It's not available in my area, but I think it's a great idea. I'd love to do it, especially being here in Houston. I mean, anybody who lives around here knows what your summer electricity bills are like and, you know, the season we're about to start rolling into. I think it'd be a great idea.
Groovy.
Oh, yeah. And, yes. And it, you know, it's good for your – yeah, well, especially when you can – although the problem is most of those systems and with the battery, I don't know how – if they can set it up where if the power goes out that it acts like a generator for you, you know, like a backup generator or not.
Yeah. I think we were saying for Musk's system in particular, what did we say last week? It was going to be 10 – the rumors were saying it was 10 kilowatt hours of stored energy, which, you know, it wouldn't carry you through – you know, a Rita, or I guess Rita, we didn't lose power that long. It wouldn't carry you through an Ike where, you know, we got no power for 5-6 days, but it might let you run your refrigerator for that whole time, or it might let you run, you know, some appliances, some low-power appliances, let you cook a microwave meal, stuff like that, I guess. I mean, better than not having it, and certainly safer than a gas-burning generator. I mean, geez, most of the fatalities, so I'm going to say this off of memory. This is my recollection, is that at least with Rita and Ike, as far as like people in their homes, there were more fatalities and injuries resulting from improper use of generators in non-ventilated areas than were from like the flooding and the storm. I mean, people just get dumb when they have, you know, propane and gas generators in their homes.
Asphyxiation and explosions?
Yes,
or?
Yes. Mainly asphyxiations from exhaust and stuff. So, yes, battery power. Let's have some.
Efficient battery power of the future.
This is a fundraising issue. We don't have to do anything special for
right. We don't do the break.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at Flicted for, but I think we're in the clear, right?
Right, we don't actually do
the
break.
Yeah, Flicted's on it.
Oh, all right.
Do we? No, he's not on it because there's nothing to be on.
That's what I mean. He's aware that there is nothing
really,
to be on.
No, actually, this is Groovehouse's phone.
Sitting there on Groovehouse's phone.
No, I mean, if you want to have a break, I can put something up, but I didn't because it's fundraiser.
Right. Okay, yeah. Well, let's just do a soft reminder here as we reach the top of the hour.
I think we're required to do that by law.
Yeah, but not the soft reminder.
You have to do
a station ID.
Okay. That's what the sign says.
We do have to do a station ID, but the soft reminder didn't reference that. The soft reminder was about the fun drive.
I thought it was a soft reminder about what station you're listening to.
Venn diagram.
You're listening.
All right. Well, I just want to remind you that it is fundraiser. We made our goal, which is awesome. Thanks to everybody who called in and pledged and contacted me via email and pledged and went to the website and pledged. If you want to pledge at kpft.org, you can do that. We'll have some money in the kitty going into next week. That'd be nice. But we're going to do a regular show for the rest of the evening, minus the break. And you are listening to KPFT in Houston. The name of this show is Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Lee.
And he's
Groovehouse.
Yay. All right.
So, yeah, and we do have volunteers in the lobby who could take your pledge if you're wanting to get ahead on next week or the week after that. He said softly.
Gently.
At 713-526-5738.
Gentle reminder. I think Smiling Bob is out there. You can almost hear him smile through the phone, especially if you give him a pledge.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I saw him come in here a little bit ago. Did he have something?
He was just checking on the audio. He said that it kind of dropped out a little bit. But, you know, we got Pete on the internet, and everybody's kind of at different various links away from their mics. So, you know, it is what it is.
We're out here in Pledge Central.
What's the weather like in Pledge Central?
The weather?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's really been a wonderful day.
Is global warming threatening our lobby?
Sometimes, you know, I open the back door, but...
Warning of packet storm.
There aren't any birds roosting in here tonight.
That's good.
But, we'd love to have a phone call.
Sure. If somebody wants to pledge, you know, it'd be still nice to go over. You know, your financial contributions are important to KPFT.
And tax deductible.
Let me just say that if any of you listeners are out and about this evening, come on by the station. We've got a little coffee we can share from a coffee provider for quite a while now to the station, Lola Savannah. And there's two bagels left. So, you know, and visit. Come visit. We'll show you around a little bit.
I think the bagels are left over from two fundraisers ago. So they're ready for someone.
Hey, here's an update. I just got an email. Somebody, you know, I was mentioning earlier in the show that if you wanted to pledge going to kpft.org and using the tip jar, be sure and go by Geek Radio and let us know you did that. And Susan from New Mexico.
Wow.
Awesome.
She's at 7:20 p.m. Mountain Time. Did a two with two zeros behind
her. Whoa. Thank you, Susan.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you.
We have Susan. That. So we have 700, 800 in just genuine, honest money, and then super extra generous money for me. And so we're well over our goal. And thanks to Susan out in New Mexico. That's kind of awesome. New Mexico. They don't have much weather out there. Just
love
sunshine.
New Mexico now. It's my new favorite state.
Is it?
Yeah, that in Georgia.
When's the last time? When do you go to New Mexico?
Well, I watch Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad. So,
oh, you go to New Mexico every time you watch TV.
So I know everything. I know everything there is to know about New Mexico.
Apparently, you can go to New Mexico and buy blue rock candy.
Yes. That is true.
For the kids.
For the kids.
Get a bag of some.
Is that what they call it these days?
Oh, man.
I like the kind with chili powder in it.
It's the secret ingredient.
It's a signature.
It is a signature.
So is there an act, not to be all over the place, but is there an actual, like, the Hermanos, Pollos Hermanos restaurant out there? Was that modeled after someplace?
I have a Pollos Hermanos apron that I, for the kitchen.
I want to say, like, Dwight went there. Someone from our side make a pilgrimage there, take a picture?
I think that Dwight did, and that's how I think I came to know about the blue rock candy.
Los Pollos Hermanos. Chicken.
Good American values.
So Call Saul didn't really wrap up the first season, and I just didn't think the first season was that good. I mean,
I liked it,
but it didn't have that, you know, when I watched Breaking Bad and I got through the first season, I knew that this show was going to be good, really good. It wasn't quite there. I mean, there was a lot of development. I'm hoping that's kind of what's going on here, but I have high expectations, and I don't know if they're being met.
I mean, Breaking Bad was about 80% tragedy and 20% comedy. 80% of any given, maybe not episode, because they swung back and forth, but 80% of Breaking Bad was either Walter
Bad
White
breaks.
Doing terrible things or having terrible things happen to people because of something he did or having something terrible happen to him. It was bad things happening to bad people. And then, because, you know, ultimately, everything he did was his choice. And then there was a little bit of comedy tossed in.
Are we talking about Sons of Anarchy?
No, we're talking about, and then for Better Call Saul, the interviews that I've read, it's sort of the inverse. You know, you're watching, you know, bad things happen to Jimmy McGill, who's fundamentally a good person, I think, but who has got sort of that that badness in him that's being sort of brought out. But for the most part, the episodes are a lot more lighthearted than Breaking Bad. There's a lot less.
Maybe that's it. I mean, there was certainly.
Well, that's the idea. It's supposed to be kind of a lighter show that ultimately is, if not a slapstick comedy at its core, is at least a little more fun. It's not.
Yeah, but
every episode
still,
is, oh my God.
I mean, they're still trying to develop some characters there with his brother and with the law firm and
it's still got its share of toad stranglers.
Toad stranglers.
of you know, big dramatic punches.
Heard the term
J. Michael Straczynski.
I'm glad we're finally talking about tech again. I think that's a term from 4chan.
No, that's Pepe the Frog. No, J. Michael Straczynski, the creator of Babylon 5, used to use that phrase in referring to episodes or moments in episodes that had particular impacts on the plot. These are toad strangling moments. Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul has those, but it's not the same type of show. It's not as heavy. It's not supposed to be as heavy. I mean, Jimmy McGill is ultimately.
I don't know if I want it so much that I want it to be heavy, but I want it to be a little bit more complex. At least like the web, the tangle that Breaking Bad was. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything there was, you know, it was folding in on itself.
Yes,
and that was very. It was very complex. And if you even go back and read some of the fan sites about stuff that people have sussed mm-hmm. out. It's even more interesting because I don't have the intellect to even notice some of that.
Oh, no, yeah, I don't know. My wife is totally all over that. Like, we'll get done with an episode, and she'll be like, did you notice X, Y, Z? And I'm like, no, he shot that guy, and that's what I saw.
I was happy when I watched Castle this week and noticed that they were flying on an oceanic airline. Hey, I get that reference.
I mean, I think it comes down to the fact that Walter White is a dark character. And started as a dark character and ended as a dark character, and his journey is ultimately tragic. Whereas Jimmy McGill, you're talking about a guy who becomes Saul the lawyer and who practices law out of a strip mall office with fake constitutions hung up on the wall behind him. He's a comedic character, and we already know, because we've got the spoilers from having watched Breaking Bad, that he lives in the end. His arc is ultimately, if not happy, then at least kind of pedestrian, and he comes out of
it. I don't know if they're going to take it all the way to that point, but I want to see him get to be the lawyer that he was
Absolutely.
In Breaking Bad.
That's why
where he's just completely confident. He's got his henchmen. He's got his office.
And becomes totally amoral.
Right.
Completely amoral. Because at least in the first season, he's got kind of a conscience. He's not that, like, he's not Saul yet.
Yeah.
Well, that was a...
I was driving through Houston.
10 minutes.
All right. Talking about Albuquerque.
I told Pete to take control, and he didn't do it.
I haven't seen the wrap-up to Breaking Bad, so I have no idea if they get off the island or if it was a dream or what.
The cloud of the black cloud stuff and the Tyrannosaurus and all that it was all the meth dealers, and it all comes back in the end.
Yeah, drugs are bad. That's the moral to this story.
Drugs are bad, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
There needs to be another, not to be all TV, but I miss tech shows. Like, I watched the IT Crowd back in the day. I know Community, but I don't think Community's geeky. It's whatever. Big Bang, I think, is more about laughing at geeks. It's not really geek culture.
Sort of along those lines.
I want something like that.
So,
what?
No,
not like that. I want something.
So, what were you going to say?
I was going to say that there was the announcement on This Week in Tech last week that Leah LaPorte's bringing screensavers back. And they're going to do it as a web show, and they're going to do it, I think, in partnership with This Week in Tech. I missed the announcement, but I read up all about it. So if you were a Screensavers fan, and you
Dwight
miss,
Silverman.
And you and you miss tuning in to Leo, I have to actually make a very terrible admission, and that's that I as
don't
a,
like Leo LaPorte.
I grew up.
You have a tattoo.
You popped his bouncy ball.
You have a
Kim Commando.
You have a twit tattoo.
You prefer Kim Commando.
No, I hate Kim Commando too. I hate her worse. But I no, I don't hate Kim Commando. Is a great person.
This show's all about love.
But I despised the Screensavers. And let me tell you why. Because when the Screensavers was in its heyday, you know, that period of 1999, 2000 to 2002 or 2003.
Before the bubble popped.
When it was like, yeah, when everybody was watching it. That was when I was really getting going as in my IT career as a desktop support guy. I worked tier 2 for at the time it was for Boeing, And I swear to God, like every day you'd be out, like I'd you know, get my pager and get my list of calls I had to go hit. And I'd go walk over to somebody's desk. And while you're working on a problem, somebody would start up with like, "Hey, listen, I heard on the screensavers last night that DHCP is better for your home network than static addressing. So I went and I set my DHCPs up to 10.192. So is that a good DHCP to set? Because I wanted to make sure I was using the right numbers so my DHCPs were fast." And like it was like some variation of like they were like listening to half the show, but they obviously missed like the whole rest of the show. And I blame just like so many hours, because that goes into a whole conversation. You can't just like, you're sitting at this guy's computer, you have the problem that you have to fix, you can't just get up and leave because, you know, you're being paid to do this and you have to pay your mortgage. So not only do you have to fix the fellow's problem, you also have to kind of explain, okay, well, DHCP doesn't really work like that, what it really is. And, you know, so like I blame hours and hours and hours of painful conversation. I lay them squarely at Leo Laporte's feet.
A little bit of knowledge can be a dangerous thing. Yes. I tried watching this. I mean, I remember that. I was never really into it. I tried to watch the screensavers a handful of times. It was always pretty much the same thing. Like, I know I watched the Flying Toasters episode. I watched the Bouncing Ball episode. I watched the Wavy Lines episode. And I would get bored.
Well, it was
4 or 5 hours. I was done.
For you.
I never watched the screensavers ever, not even once.
And I just had the screensavers on Windows 3.11, and then I don't think I had it.
Yes,
on
I know. Yes, we know where you're going. The Flying Toasters, the After Dark screensavers.
Yeah, I was never. I hate to admit it, but I knew about Leo Laporte only through Dwight, and then the bouncing ball that exploded, and then it was weird because, you know, I talked to people and they're like, "Oh yeah, I watched him forever," but I think that was like maybe a generation. Well, Well, you're my age, kind of. You might be a year or two younger than me.
About to turn 37.
A little bit younger, maybe. Not too much. But yeah, there are some guys, I guess, in their mid-30s that just are all about Leo, and they grew up on him.
Yeah, well, I was in my early 20s when Screensavers was at its height. But the target audience seemed like it was for, like, my parents. That was who I felt like Screensavers was aimed at, because it took... You know what? I mean, you know, I'm talking a lot of smack. They did great work. It was a great show. It brought generalized knowledge of tech to an audience that doesn't necessarily have. You know, we take a lot of our access for granted when you look at people who aren't like nose to the grindstone working support jobs all the time. You don't have that exposure to like. You have no reason to know what DHCP is. You know, stuff like that. So the show was great. It democratized access to tech, probably in the same way that this kind of show strives.
You're comparing
to do.
Us to a show you hate. That's awesome.
Well, that giddy high of hitting our goal didn't last long, did it?
I blame Technology Bytes.
But, you know, so it's coming back. So if you happened to be a fan of the Screensavers in its heyday, be prepared because it's making a return.
Now, are there any other shows that are kind of techy?
Wait a second. We have
more?
We have Smiling Bob in the studio.
Hey,
look
guys.
Look at that. So you can hear him smile.
You know.
Yeah?
All the fun you guys have is rather contagious.
We are contagious.
15-minute Breaking Bad conversation that did it.
And Jeremy was smitten.
Oh, Jeremy.
And I want to.
Love Jeremy.
He had a great thought.
I love Lamb.
And I think you guys would enjoy it.
Okay.
So I was going to call Jeremy back and see if y'all wouldn't put him on the air and let him share that thought with you.
How are we going to do that? You got to flip the phones and not stop taking all these generous pledges that
Well, just
to be
for
streaming?
A moment. Yeah.
Okay.
Just put him online.
If you could get him online and get it
great.
To happen,
okay,
sure.
Okay. I'll be right back.
All right.
Thank you. Okay. And in the meantime, the number to call...
713-526-5738. I guess you could always answer the black phone and take a pledge. So we have that going for us. All right. So,
well, Groovehouse could also field calls and figure out if it's a pledge and transfer it on back or handle the call.
Like
or
he's pretty good.
A machine. A machine is better than robot.
If Groovehouse were a transformer, what transformer would he be?
By voice, he'd be Optimus Prime.
I was thinking Optimus Prime, but that's
Groupcon.
Jay is clearly Megatron.
As long as he can be a pre-Michael Bay Transformer, that's all I care about.
Oh yeah, no.
Groovehouse needs more lens flare.
Gen 1. This is
he needs to be
Gen
animated.
1.
No,
well, while they're,
not,
while they're
not,
moving the call, we can do a little bit.
Groovehouse would be, I tell you what, while we're doing that, Groovehouse would be Soundwave. the Decepticon boombox with the tapes. The tapes that popped out of his chest and became animals and things.
Nice.
Well, and while we're waiting, we can do another show segment, regular segment, Bite of the Apple. Got a couple quickie little Apple stories.
Oh, yeah. The first one, actually, I didn't think this was true, and I'm not going to steal a thunder on what it was, but I've got a couple of friends with full sleeves, and one of them posted something about this, and I was like, there's no way. That's not happening.
Oh, I haven't heard this before.
Go ahead. Yeah, this is true.
What?
Yeah. The Apple Watches are getting out, and people are using them, and apparently a growing number of people are saying on social networks that if you have an Apple Watch and a full sleeve, you know, wrist tattoo, that it interferes with the Apple Watch's heart rate sensor and skin contact registration. Consequently, some Apple Watch users with tattoos have been unable to receive notifications and are frequently prompted to re-enter their passcode because the watch thinks it's not on their wrist anymore.
Yeah, so I guess this is kind of weird technology. I thought the first time I heard it, maybe it was shorting out, but I guess there's a sensor, and I forget the specific name for the sensor, but it looks for like blood flow through capillaries and a couple of other things like that, and it says like, hey, I'm on the wrist, and you know, when you're wearing it, it goes into different modes, and you can actually turn off that mode, but if you turn it off, you actually disable some of the functionality. So the issue is that if you have really, really dark ink layering on your skin, that it actually cannot punch through the ink and see, hey, there's blood flowing through the capillaries, and it doesn't think it's being worn by anyone.
And it's about the ink, just to be clear for people. If you have darker skin, that's not going to affect the ability of the sensor to do that. It's only tattoo ink.
Wouldn't it be ironic if somebody had gotten like a black Apple tattoo on their wrist, and like that is what interferes?
Now, what would have been cooler if it was the Android? If somebody got an Android tattoo on their wrist and interfered with the Apple Watch, or you know, Windows?
It's trying to keep this evil Apple stuff off of you. Get away!
Yeah, there goes my ideas of 8-bit sleeves and an Apple Watch. So, oh well.
And the other story, it's another week with, we don't have any good like Apple rumors, but we do have stuff. We have not necessarily good things happening. So you got the watch thing, but then you've got the first. This is an iPad glitch grounded dozens of American Airlines flights.
Oh yeah, this is a big deal.
And the thing about it is, you know, the basically the sort of flight manuals and flight plan stuff for American Airlines, they replaced the paper stuff with iPads. And yesterday, those iPads crashed, grounding dozens of planes, according to Quartz. A passenger on a flight from Dallas to Austin told Quartz that as the pilot prepared for takeoff, both of their iPads crashed, I guess with the software that it must interact with, because I would be shocked if two iPads.
No, it's yeah. So they use a service provided by a company called Jeppesen, which is either a subsidiary of or a partner of Boeing, that provides. I mean, this isn't just like one or two things. This is like pounds of documents that
it's the electronic it's flight the whole, bag.
It's not just the flight plan. It's the entire like checklist thing, right? So, yeah, and with it gone, they're literally not carrying all these documents on the plane because it's, you know, thousands of pages that are being replaced here. And this provided by the service by Jeppesen. So apparently when the service glitched out, you know, the iPads themselves were fine, but like the feed glitched out and you couldn't look up the documents anymore. You know, you can't take off. This is like, you know, checklists and procedures, not just of stuff that you have to do to take off. This is like everything else too. This is the
mid-air and landing as well.
What do I do if the engine goes out?
As far as luck goes, it's actually good that they were not able to do what they needed to do before the plane got up
like
in the air.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know the specifics of how the
I guess the odd thing to me, this sounds a lot like the people who thought it was a good idea. And I'm not talking about the using the iPad piece, I don't think is a bad idea. This seems like the same kind of lack of thinking it through that, you know, had them put the Wi-Fi network on the same wires as the, you know, the controls for the plane.
Yeah, that's still
it seems like if you're going to rely on that kind of app thing where it's got to communicate, the iPad has to communicate with something, that you would have the redundancy would be you put some device that's on the plane so that if you've got a problem with your connection back to the network or the central, you know, to whatever central hub, that the plane can still do. Because I'm sure part of it is they want to keep all their documents current and so on. But there's that, you know, also said, having it be where you can't take off.
I think it was the Wall Street Journal. One of the articles that I read on this had the weirdest quote from the justification for doing this. They said the quote was like, switching to the electronic flight bag reduces pilot injuries because the documents are heavy. And I was like, are you kidding me? Is that like, did they actually pitch that in? Like, the pilot has to lift less.
35 pounds of paper in each bag. I mean, that adds up,
is it really,
I guess.
35 pounds,
yeah,
of
it's 30.
Paper?
So it's all in all, it's 24 million pages of documents carried in bags weighing 35 pounds each. So they're looking at, and so this is kind of crazy. You take all that paper off,
yeah,
it's going to save 400,000 gallons of fuel per year, or about 1.2 mil in jet fuel per year. So I get the thing, but yeah, really, a backup iPad or something, Kindle. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Or just basically sort of like a NAS, you know, some kind of device,
yeah, on
that's
disk,
on the plane,
yeah,
that when it can connect up and sync up, makes sure that it's current, but yeah, that if you're not, you can still connect up. I mean, it seems like that would make something sense to have a backup.
All right.
Just computer 101.
Yeah, we've got that call on the line now, Jeremy.
We have Jeremy coming up.
Smiling Bob indicated we might want to talk to. So since it's fundraiser and we're being all wacky and stuff, we're gonna go ahead.
All right. So up next, we're going to speak to Jeremy.
Jeremy, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Good evening.
Good evening.
You were just talking about lack of thinking things through. Now, you were also earlier on talking about the new Microsoft browser system, Spartan.
Which got renamed to Microsoft Edge today at Build.
Oh, it did, damn it.
They got a name. I like the Spartan name.
The formal name now, although it was hilarious. One of the tech pubs, I think it was Mashable, ran their write-up of it, and they had a big picture of the Edge from U2 behind it. Like Microsoft Edge.
Well, you know what we've missed
your Zune.
is that Spartan, if you take two letters out of it,
uh-huh,
is Satan.
I really wish they kept that name now.
The Edge has saved us.
So do I, because, you know, by the time the first fix comes out on it, people will be calling it that.
No doubt.
We haven't had a good Windows name that was, you know, easily made fun of. Like, you know, Wince was great, you know, the WinCE. They've given us, they've set some up for us, but nah, alas.
I was actually thinking they were going to call it Trident for a long time, but they ditched it.
Well,
plus if your browser
crashed, we're going to get the base jumpers in on Edge then, because they're going to jump off it.
Don't push me because I'm close to the edge.
Anyway, great show, guys. It's the first time I've pledged on you guys. Normally do the blues. So.
Oh, well, we appreciate you, switching your loyalties for this fundraiser.
Well, no, it was Chris talked me into it, so give him some kudos, too.
All right.
We are very thankful.
I'm the chef he was referring to.
Okay.
Mystery solved now.
Perfect.
Well, thank you. We hope we are bantering to your satisfaction.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Cheers.
Cheers.
All right. Thanks. All right. So, you know, and I assume that Bob had another, did he have another pledge to share with us?
I don't think he actually said, at least I didn't hear what Jeremy's pledge was.
No, but someone out there knows that we're waiting for their call.
They do?
Oh, I should hope so.
Okay.
Yeah. And the number to call is 713-526-5738. If you're listening outside Texas, or you don't have a phone, you don't want to use a phone. Of course, you know, we have the website, kpft.org, and there's a big red button on there now that's could be in the shape of a heart. I'm not sure, but just hit that button and it can drain your bank account for you.
Not all of it.
We don't need all of it, just most of it.
Did we have another person?
The minimum donation to be a member actually is $25.
Now, hopefully all those people that did call in these generous pledges are getting thrown in the hat for that iPad mini drawing.
That's right. And I understand there's going to be several of those.
Now, the thing is...
I think in a roundabout way, the fact that we have those was the result of a very generous donation of some hardware that was donated to your show.
Oh, yeah, because I think somebody donated.
Yeah, and we just made some adjustments with that.
They donated a single thing, which was worth several things, so they donated that with the receipt,
you know,
so we were able to
There's no less gratitude in that, and we just had to, you know, work out something that was more beneficial.
Another call coming in back there.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for that call coming in. All right, so let Silent Bob get that. Hopefully we'll get an updated total on that. We are well over the goal. We're coasting right now, which is an awesome place to be. It's been a long time since Technology Bites has had that kind of experience with a fundraiser, so it's very nice to have that. And I want to thank everybody who's called in and pledged or webbed in and pledged. It's all very, very awesome. And I you know, the one person who did go by kpft.org and made a pledge using the tip jar and took time to go by Geek Radio and let us know that they had done that. I'm hoping there's some more pledges in there too that we'll learn about next week. So good stuff happening all around. A great episode. Technology Bites is very, very grateful for our listeners, and we hope that I hope that our banter is up to your approval tonight.
Banter standards.
Yeah, we're going to try to rise up and give you what you need here. And we do have a geek gathering coming, and we're going to be in an extra good mood, even if I don't have my car.
Jay will be buying all the drinks.
All the drinks. Water's all around.
Free water for everyone.
we should actually have a Soylent party.
I do have some Soylent. I have some of the new stuff. I sent the old stuff away to somebody who asked for it, but I have plenty of new Soylent I could bring. If you want to subject yourself to Soylent and shots, which is
cool, it'd be sort of a live try, buy or fry for
a lot of people. It'd be
gathering
try
visitors.
Gag and puke. Unfortunately,
I didn't think it was that bad. Maybe not. Maybe the new stuff is worse. But
no, I like the new stuff. It tastes like very little. They've removed a lot of the sweetness, so it's just kind of very anonymous, vaguely textury drink food. That's probably the best way to describe it. But they cut down on a lot of the insoluble protein or not proteins. Oh boy, the insoluble fiber. So it gave me.
You mean bone?
It's not what they
ligament
use.
Tendons. Is it not people anymore?
It gave me less of the farts this time, which was great. Farts are fun and funny, but not like for days when you're drinking this stuff. And the new batch that they made, the 1.4 version, didn't really cause any of that, which was a very, very big improvement, I thought.
So I'm assuming that no liquids also includes no Soylent in the studio, right? That's never gonna.
Not that we would ever.
That'll be nothing we'll ever have to contend with.
I'll bring it for Thanksgiving again. We can have Thanksgiving Soylent Part 2.
We can flavor it with turkey gravy.
Ooh, yeah. No, that would be just absolutely terrible. That would be an abomination.
Oh, but finding a way to do Soylent where you layer it and each layer has the flavor of a different part
seven
of
layer Soylent dip.
So, like, the very bottom would be pumpkin pie, pumpkin flavor, and you could have mashed potato flavor and turkey and... And at the end, you would explode like violet.
I'm not saying that's the grossest thing I've ever heard, but I'm going to put that in the top five.
Jay would have his Soylent with Crown.
Soylent with Crown.
No, actually, if you're going to cut it with anything, you should be some neutral spirits. So you just dump some Everclear in it. That way you don't have to, it doesn't alter the taste, but it'll get you crunk.
Blue Rock candy.
Crunk on Soylent.
All right, what's next, Pete?
We get crunk.
This is an odd try, buy, or fry, partly because Microsoft's thing, nobody's going to announce. It's just like when Apple was announcing their stuff. Nobody wants to announce their products or new things during big events where other stuff is new that's going to, you know, absorb all the tech journalism. But this one was delightfully retro and weird. So... Interested to hear if any of you would try it or buy it or if you'd just fry it.
I'm looking at it right
it's
now.
A Crosley Revolution turntable, which does something your high-end player can't. It can go everywhere with you. It's smaller than a record case, able to run off of four AA batteries and weighing under 2 pounds.
What's the round black thing in the middle?
It has a USB port on it for power or ripping vinyl to your computer.
Now that's useful. That's actually useful.
And you could bring it with you places, though. So you could, you know, think about how hipster it would be to go to Starbucks and listen to an album at your table.
Especially if you get one of those wood crates filled with
12-inch.
Yeah, you've got to kind of – that's the thing. It's like this is really portable, but you still got the issue. The records really aren't all that portable, and you still got to lug them around. But, yeah, I can totally see this. Although, if I was going to, like, really hipster it up, I would probably bring in a Victrola.
Yeah. Wax cylinder, yeah, Edison.
Wax cylinders, yeah.
It's about $65 if that's something one were interested in. It looks it's about the size of, say, a portable scanner.
I don't care about the portability necessarily, except that it would be useful if you wanted to start up your own RIP to digital LP service, because you could just go to someone's place, take this with you.
But I'm not sure the sound quality it's going to pull from the record is going to be really good.
As good as you could get. Probably if you have a full, you're the kind of person that
that's all going to be based on the
style.
You
styling. Have a really serious turn.
That's really based on the
style. That does make a big difference, but the weight of the platter and some other things.
So it depends on what decoder or what encoder they have, transcoder,
well,
I suppose.
What is the output from a tone arm? It's it's basically two wires.
Stereo, yes. Right.
It's
four wires, two for left and two for right.
So if it
ground and not ground.
Really comes down to the needle in the cartridge.
Why are you wearing a hoodie? When did you become a Jedi?
Once we made our goal.
Sweet.
Surprised the light's not off in there.
All right.
And then this one has no buy to it, but I wonder if I wonder about interest in trying it, which is I just added this one. It's not on it's on the for the people on the show prep page, not on the public one yet. I don't know if you heard this one about master combination locks. Apparently you can, if you take a little time, you can open a master combination lock within 8 tries of the combinations.
I haven't been able to do that.
We tried it. Everybody on staff had tried it at ours, and most of the people couldn't do it, but a few could, and it seemed to depend upon, like, the instructions, if you read them, are kind of vague. They're like, you have to...
some feel to it,
isn't
there?
Yeah, there's some feel to it, and, like, the people who had the trouble with it couldn't quite feel, like, the resistance on, like, the third step, yeah.
Were they trying on new locks or old locks?
They were trying on branded master locks that supposedly were from, like, the time period where it was supposed to work.
I guess, had the locks seen a lot of use, or were these, like, brand new, like, the first time they'd been popped open?
I don't know. One guy went out and bought a new one, and he was able to do it.
Yeah.
A brand new one, and he was able to do it. So isn't that nice? All these years, you thought your gym, your clothes were safe during gym, and really...
My precious filthy socks.
Somebody's going to take you underpants.
Hey, right, blow dryer.
So now you know that a $4 lock, you got a lot more than $4 worth of feeling of security, but not
all locks are security theater. All locks are security theater.
Should I buy an $8 lock?
They protect you from the honest.
Should I buy a $12 lock? Will a $12 lock protect me, Jay?
All I know is that, you know, the person who jiggles the doorknob and finds it locked and moves on, or the person who finds the door locked, jiggles it, and has a way to get past that.
There's enough, like, how to unlock any lock videos on YouTube to pretty much have taken away any
faith
I had.
Come to DEF CON.
Yeah, I was about to say, there are also, you know, things called crowbars and sledgehammers. And, you know, bolt cutters.
Those can decrypt incredibly advanced cryptography at the same time. Too.
Yeah. Yes. Well,
I've got a hammer that'll extract your password from your kneecaps.
I've got 4096 bit RSA.
I'm on an email list for my neighborhood, neighborhood watch, whatever. They send out a daily note about happenings in the neighborhood. And, you know, a couple of times a week, there's a report of a burglary of a vehicle or a burglary of a home. The vehicle burglaries tend to be unlocked cars. But the home burglaries tend to be smashed in back doors.
Yeah.
So, you know, break a window, break the door. They don't care about the lock. It's like, I'm going to bust the door down, the alarm's going to go off, I'm going to run in.
So many people have, like, especially for the back door, they'll have, like, the window on the door where all you got to do is punch the door out and then just reach in and flip the lock.
Well, and they don't have the key on both side lock on that back door.
Yeah, or if they do that, they'll just kick the window right next to it in.
Well, yeah, I had some friends actually just this last week, their house was broken into, and they were actually running, I forget the brand of the camera, but, you know, one of the motion sensor cameras in all the rooms, and they got the full thing. But I guess, you know, people were, I wouldn't have think this is how I would get arrested if I ever did this. I wouldn't have thought to wear a mask or stuff inside the house, but these guys, I guess, knew because everyone has, you know, security cameras inside now. So they got to see play by play everything that they did, everything they went through, and that's, you know, frustrating, so there's not much you can do. But just no bypass the lock, came in a window.
Scary. What do you do if you're home and that happens?
Just try not to be home.
Throw your TV at him and run.
Smiling Bob. Earth is Smiling Bob. Did we get a pledge? There he is.
The phone rang earlier, didn't it?
It did. And I thought you had a pledge form in your hand, too, when you came in here to tell us about Jeremy's call.
Oh, yeah, they somehow they thought Car Talk was on.
I did too. That's so crazy.
Well, you know, we like our toys.
We did talk about cars.
Yeah, well, maybe we should.
I'm glad they didn't call you guys on Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul.
What's our new total up in pledge monies?
I don't think you ever actually told us what Jeremy pledged. I missed it if you did.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he gave the same thing Christopher did.
Yeah, they're all big hitters.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yes. All heavy hitters.
And was that another?
Apparently, there are a bunch of people who don't know that if you call in and you pledge $40 right now, we love the big pledges, but if you're thinking, oh, well, I can't make that big pledge, you pledge $40, you become a member of KPFT, and you become eligible to win a Mac Mini.
That's right.
Or an
that's
iPad
right.
Mini, no, sorry.
Mac an Mini. iPad.
Yeah, it's an iPad Mini. iPad Mini. Mm-hmm. And the first drawing will be
tomorrow. Tomorrow. That's the one
tomorrow.
You want to get
so
in.
So it's your last chance to get in on that.
Well, on the first one, there's going to be more than one, but this is the one to get in on. Because right now, the way that things have been going in the early part of the fun drive,
slow.
I think your chances are pretty good. You got better chances now, and I think once word gets out on that it's going to get tougher to win, so... If you want to do it, I think.
Well, I'm wondering if they're going to stick everything in a cloth bag, or they're going to have a tumbler, or what. You know,
it's going
to
be a cage match.
We go through this at our metal detector.
Probably tumbler or Pinterest.
And some of the tickets fall out of the tumbler when it's rolling. All sorts of stuff. So
cage match.
I mean, I'm sure the attempt will be for it to be democratic, but who knows?
Yeah, we're not saying that if a Technology Bites listener were to call in and pledge and you know, get a lot of pledges that we would make sure that would they'd have some kind of advantage. But
no, but if you look at the overall odds,
to make them not have an advantage.
Well, so you'd had two people call in, I think, the hour previous.
The chances, I just think because of the confluence and convergence of tech ideas that a Technology Bites listener pledger has a better chance of winning tech than anybody else who listens to any of the other shows on KPFT because
the on a karma perspective,
the universe
wills
it.
The universe is fair. So you still may not win, but your odds, I think you just have like phantom odds that are just in your favor. Kind of like karma.
The odds
on
be always in your favor.
I went to Las Vegas and somebody was at one of those coin machines and they had some kind of a little box in their hand, and they held it up against that machine, and boom, suddenly all this change fell out.
There you go. All right, so...
So we've got several entries for that this evening.
Good.
The number to call, 713-526-5738. Yes, we'd love to have... You know what you need, I think? You need a couple of new donors. We every program in... how many are there, like...
Total programs 60, on the station?
Yeah.
60 to 80?
60 to 80. Every program has a goal of new members. We, you know, the station needs new blood, just like our bodies replace their cells. And let's see where you are here again. Do you happen to know what your new member goal is? Gosh, there is no entry there.
Yes.
We have achieved it.
We've already succeeded.
Well, maybe so. Maybe those online pledges.
Oh, that's right.
Got.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes, we're going over the numbers.
We're trying to go over the numbers and what we've got here, and I think that our total is somewhere around, are we over 2,000? Is that possible?
No.
We had the $500 plus the match, so that's 1,000. Well, and then
probably 1,400.
And then 200s.
Oh yeah, that's right. It's a 500 match. I'm sorry.
You're getting matches on all these things?
No.
Up to five. No, first five.
The first five we got a match on. So 500. Okay. As soon as we hit 500, we were at 1,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And then we had two 200s, you said, and then there's a web 200.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's 14.
No, that's 16
plus the first couple that came in.
Plus the first couple that came in, which is about 50.
We're doing nice.
And we
we're doing nice.
$100 donation from that was.
It feels good, doesn't it? Donation, didn't we? It feels good. I remember a couple of fun drives ago, you guys.
We were sad.
We've had some where the math isn't
that. We don't want to think about those. Yeah. Those are now behind us.
But let me say this. Listeners, you should know how happy these guys are when they do make their goal, and they almost always make their goal. That was probably a one-time glitch in maybe 10 years. I haven't been around the station or helping out 10 years, but I see the difference, and I see the glow and the joy.
The glow and the joy.
Yes.
There is a lot of glowing.
Not even at Christmas.
There's a lot of joyful glowing.
Or Easter.
And you can hear Smiling Bob's smile cracking his face wider.
Well, I'm glad I've still got most of my teeth.
Are they all original?
No. I got those super glue jobs now, you know. They took
veneers.
Most of the mercury-filled amalgam out. But,
Well, we are extremely grateful.
We are so grateful. Ever so grateful.
Yes. 713-526-5738.
That is the number to call if you
Please
would like
call.
To pledge.
Let's get a couple more pledges. What do we got? About 20 minutes?
Looks like we got about 20 minutes left in
18,
the show.
19, 20.
We do. Yeah.
All right. So, Pete, what next?
Well, there's some science news. I don't have a good spot to play the bumper, so
that's
we'll live without it. But
Wait, I can do it. I've got it right here. Hold on.
We're good.
I'm playing. No, we're doing the bumper. We're doing it.
My calculations are correct. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious science.
There you go.
All right. Yeah, I think one of my goals by the end of the fun drive is to have a couple more bumpers, and we can actually like put them on the system so that
put the microphone to the laptop and press the go button.
Right. Play them as legitimate carts instead of our current improvised way. Anyways, we mentioned it a little bit earlier. Groovehouse mentioned it. The supply craft for the International Space Station from Russia has been tumbling around the Earth after it malfunctioned. It could remain in orbit for more than a week before crashing down to Earth. Thomas Ryder, director of human spaceflight and operations at the European Space Agency, said if Russian engineers could not regain control of the stricken vessel, it could spiral down to Earth within the next 10 days. And it sounds like they pretty much have written it off.
Yeah, no,
The 7-meter-long Progress 59 vessel malfunctioned soon after reaching orbit on Tuesday and went into an uncontrolled spin. If you go to the Geek Radio webpage, we've got links to the articles. And at the top of the article about the Russian unmanned Russian spacecraft, it's got video of the thing tumbling in space.
And I think it's important to stress that this is not like, oh, it's floating away. This is like, holy crap, it is like really tumbling.
Yeah, where is this thing going? And fortunately, it seems to be, you know, they don't seem to think that it's not a danger to the space station. But one of the things is they have no idea that, you know, the danger to people is pretty slim. You know, just statistics. 2/3 of the Earth's surface is covered by water, and only 3% of the land is heavily populated. It's just, you know, somebody's number might be up when that thing hits the atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean,
and they have zero control
huge.
Of where.
It's, I mean, it's a Progress, so it's about the size of a Soyuz. So I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not tiny. But
like
it's,
a VW
you know,
bug.
It's bigger than a VW bug, but it's not like, you know, the size of an aircraft carrier or anything. It's, you know. If it hit you on your head, it would probably kill you.
It'd wreck your day.
Usually
they drop them in the Pacific, but
it's not this enormous, you know, it's not like a giant Shamu falling from the sky.
And if you're not, if that's not scary enough for you, then the other story is that a team of scientists from the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics and Moscow State University have spotted 11 runaway galaxies that have been flung out of their homes. These are entire galaxies to wander the void of intergalactic space. It's like Space 1999, but a whole galaxy. While stars and even star clusters have been seen escaping galaxies, observing actual galaxies themselves is a whole other final frontier in astrophysics. The discovery was published in the journal Science. Lead astronomer Igor Chilingarian said, these galaxies are facing a lonely future, exiled from the galaxy clusters. I don't know if he has this accent, but I'm
just creepy.
Exiled from the galaxy clusters they used to live in. The way they decided that it's a runaway is if it's moving faster than escape velocity
if it has a suitcase with it.
It's a stick with a bandana tied on it.
Can we do anything can we like put up a hotline number? Or can we like lend some help in any way?
Milk crates.
Yeah.
For runaway stars, they have to be moving at more than a million miles per hour.
Milky Way cartons.
But runaway galaxies have to go even faster than that, traveling up to 600 million miles per hour. Although I guess it's one of those where if you imagine our solar system like moving, that's not even a galaxy, kids. You know, our solar system is part of a galaxy. If it's all moving that fast altogether, I'm guessing you wouldn't notice.
It's all relative.
You know, because we'd still rotate around the sun. We'd just be moving 6 million miles per hour from it.
Well, it's one of those events that matters on a galactic time scale, but you're not going to, down where we live, not really gonna notice it.
So anyways, that's the science news we've got.
Wow, very science.
What's the runaways? It looks like what even makes it sadder is you've got these lone galaxies out there. But before they became runaways, they were third wheels. This is what happens. You've got two happy galaxies just hanging out. Everyone's getting along, and you get this third galaxy that wanders up, and more or less, it's almost like, you know, I don't know if you want to borrow it from Star Trek.
A Yoko Ono galaxy comes.
Yeah,
by.
More or less. Yeah, and then it slingshots the runaway galaxy away. It picks up a lot of velocity, and then the other two galaxies are like, hey, what was that?
Well, I would like to remind everyone that the Geek Gathering is at Cons in the parking lot, and if Khan's galaxy turns into a runaway galaxy, there could be heck to pay.
It's all going to be his fault, though.
We can all pile in the galaxy.
We will rein this galaxy in. We will have
See,
a galaxy.
Episodes, it's like Seinfeld. We circle back to the stuff from earlier. You got to listen to the whole show.
That's right. It's just like a Breaking Bad
season. Yeah, there actually was some Seinfeld news this week, too. The whole show is going to be available on Hulu, apparently.
Really?
So if you've been itching to get your Seinfeld on and watch your dumb show about
how many years of that? How many years?
That would be a long ass binge watch.
Yeah, someone did that. I don't watch a lot of stuff, but it was really cool. Someone actually broke down and did some kind of a graph that shows how many hours it would take to watch most of the the major binge watch most of the major like sci-fi series, like Babylon 5 was huge, Galactica. I think they included like Breaking Bad and some other stuff on there. But there are some pretty big commitments out there. Yeah, like Doctor Who, the entirety. That's some time.
Well, the entirety of Doctor Who would be.
From the 60s.
It would take you
boring.
A while.
Boring.
Yes.
I just Cynthia and I started with the
reboot. The 2005, yeah.
And we're still, got plenty to see. We haven't even, we're up to.
The show's been on and off for 40 years.
Well, now I'm talking about the reboot. Which has been the last since just the last
five. Yeah, saying once you expand your horizons.
I don't know. I tried to go back and watch some of the earlier stuff.
You expand your horizons far enough on that, and you eventually get really sleepy.
You need to find yourself a time. Childhood connection, because if you didn't have the childhood connection,
even having the childhood connection with the Jelly Baby Doctor, who I loved, I went back and tried to watch some of those episodes, and they were. Challenging.
Well, I used to love, there was a show that back in the early 80s, mid-80s, Nickelodeon, which was still a thing back then, used to syndicate and show a lot of old British sci-fi TV shows, kind of to fill in space, like in between running You Can't Do That on Television and whatever else they used to run back then. So there was a set of British shows called The Tomorrow People. And it was like, if Doctor Who had like even less of a budget, it would have been this show. It was about a bunch of British teenagers who had psychic powers. And when you're, you know, 8 or 9 or 10 years old, it's quality entertainment. But I've rewatched a couple of episodes recently, and it really does make like, I mean, they didn't even have money for cardboard sets. They were using like painted paper sets. It was so bad. It was.
I don't know if it's the same one, but it looks like Stephen King is redoing The Tomorrow People, whether it's a whole new thing or I don't know.
I'm sure it's a reboot because back then it was, I mean, just really cheesy, cruddy, fascinating for a 10-year-old British sci-fi TV dreck. But I'd love to see what Stephen King.
Low budget. So Red Dwarf to me was fairly low budget.
Oh no, Red Dwarf. I mean, you could
or it may have been extremely high budget. I just couldn't tell.
Red Dwarf,
that.
You could tell they had, you know, at least $500
per episode, per season. All right, we've got to stretch this.
I love Red Dwarf. Red Dwarf's a great show.
No, I do like that, but that's one of those shows.
They used
that
to do on PBS when they were showing Red Dwarf. They would do Red Dwarf and Red Green, which were like two shows with the same sounding title, but with wildly different subjects.
The Red Green show, little bit of pose between
the
two.
Ice.
That's right. Maybe do
duct tape.
Back to back.
For,
Red Dwarf and Red
for
Green.
Binge watching, you know, when the first time I binge watched was Breaking Bad, and that was, I had to get through, I think, only two seasons to get caught up, and that was fine. And I binge watched.
That does you a disservice because then you're caught up, and then you're like, "Well, now I have to wait.
I know,
what
wait.
The hell?"
Yeah, and then I binge watched. What was the one? It's the Amazon exclusive that got all the hype about the detective.
Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman.
No,
Orange is the New Black.
No. That's Netflix.
The Amazon exclusive detective.
Yeah. So
was it a British one?
Bosch, which is actually very good. It's not. It's a very film noir kind of.
It's gotten extremely far behind in everything again, which is good because I get. I'll find something that I like, and I'm like, this is great, and then that guarantees that it won't get renewed. It'll get canceled. So, I am not getting emotionally attached to any other TV until it completes its final arc, and I find out that it's good.
I found, and then I've had to expand my online streaming to Yahoo. Because Community new season was released there, and
I didn't know Yahoo has a streaming service.
They do,
huh?
Yahoo.
Are they trying to make a comeback?
They have all of Saturday Night Live. Like last year, they scored a huge syndication deal where the only place to watch Saturday Night Live now is on Yahoo.
I thought Hulu had that.
Is there a paid service?
It's being transitioned off of Hulu onto Yahoo. That was like their big coup they got.
So I think you're going to see, like, a lot of the digital providers, you're going to see punching it out for existing content, and then there's going to be a huge new wave, it looks like, of new content, too, with Hulu getting in, with Netflix getting in, with everyone getting in there.
Much like with Alien versus Predator, whoever wins, we lose, because all they do is chop up and segregate your different TV shows you want to watch into incompatible viewers with incompatible websites, and there's no single way to get at everything you want
to watch.
It's
kind of a replay of, you know, what happened with cable in the, what was that, late 70s, early 80s, because when HBO and Showtime first came on, they didn't have any original programming that they did. Yeah. I don't believe it was pretty much, you know, you saw, if memory serves, it would be movies, it would be some trailers for a movie, and then it would be like a little thing of showing what movies are coming up later on,
like,
scrolling across the screen.
The
there
same,
was nothing else.
It'd be the same like six movies. So yeah. Over summer vacation, you'd watch Weekend at Bernie's like 40 times.
I know that sounds, it was like when MTV actually played music on television. It's doesn't sound like it ever happened, but that's how it was.
I remember watching cable when it first came to Pasadena in 1975, I think, 74, 75, Pasadena Cablevision.
The commercials then?
No commercials. It was just staggering to think about paying for television, because you pay for TV. Are you
so more than three channels though?
Yeah.
You know?
No, but you know, it was, and the only reason that that my friend had it was that he knew somebody at Pasadena Cablevision who hooked him up. Because it was we couldn't afford it.
Was that one of the first thefts of cable?
I stole cable before it was cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
There it is. Now there's a record, Jay.
But the idea of watching movies, or at least, you know, relatively recently released movies, was kind of cool. But the TV technology back then wasn't so great. So you're looking at it on a kind of a grainy tube with a converter that converted the coax to the antenna.
Rabbit ear kind of setup.
So it wasn't great. but it was. I don't.
But we liked it. But that's
I
all we had.
I do remember. I do remember when MTV started to happen, and that was very cool. Back when they actually played music.
Back when
videos.
Video killed the radio star.
Well, it was even weird. There was I discovered later on that that song was actually done by Bruce Woolley and the Camera Club before it was done by
the Vapors.
What, the Vapors?
Oh, wasn't the Vapors radio killed? Who did that then?
The Bangles or the Ruggles?
Oh, let's Buggles. Let's Google. Oh, was it the? Oh, it was the? It's the cute thing.
The
yeah.
Ruggles.
The Buggles.
That is the Buggles.
The Buggles. But before the Buggles, there was a band, and we actually got this. It was an album that I got from KPFT as a giveaway. It was Bruce Woolley and the Camera Club, and the lead singer had one of those old timey microphones on the cover. But our friend from She Blinded Me with Science, that song,
Thomas Dolby
was a member of the band.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
My bad. The Vapors did Turning Japanese.
Yes, they did.
I blame her. Found Jennifer Ringwald just really because she makes those songs get all confused for me.
You mean Molly Ringwald?
Well, yeah, we'll call it Jennifer.
No, there's a local 80s band called the Ringwalds, and everybody in the band, his last name is Ringwald. So there's Jennifer Ringwald, there's Sam Ringwald, there's... They all called
a couple of those. Believe it or not, yeah, the lead, so the front of this 80s cover band that have won awards, Ken Coach. He was an IT major with me and came up through the same school. And
Ken Coach.
Can't Code, C-O-D-E, right, Coach. She's IT.
Can't Code?
I don't know if you knew that.
I don't know who that
Jennifer,
is.
Jennifer?
Ringwald.
Jennifer Ringwald?
Yeah.
Yeah, she can't went, code. We have, she has an MIS degree.
She can't
yeah.
code. No, 3 minutes yeah, ago, IT, she was Molly tech. Ringwald, okay. So yeah, Barrett.
Well, I can't code.
Yeah.
I can't code at all.
That's all. That's all. I'm code. Just saying that we've got something those that actually who, ties into tech.
Those cold. Who can't code go into IT. That's why we're in IT and not developers.
IT, I would throw development under IT. You
I
don't think so?
I think there's, well, I mean, I think there's a split. There's a traditional split between developer and support.
Well, oh, yeah, there's IT. A huge split between that. But I would still put developers under IT. If anything, I would say support is information services, like IIS.
I'm always disappointed by, I mean, I can't code. But my job isn't to code, but coders should know hardware. They should know.
Yeah,
they should know what they're writing software to run on.
They should. This is a whole IT rant, I think. Every place I've ever worked that's employed, every place that I've worked that has had developers where, like, it's not for internal applications, but for, like, the core product, dev's been totally separate from IT.
Oh, yeah. There's a large amount of animosity. The developers hold the world in contempt. You think Bobby Fischer was whatever? No, developers like Bobby Fischer.
Developers hold the IT department particularly in contempt because IT's like, you don't need admin rights on your dev box. You need to follow the process. And then development is like, yes, we do need that, and further, I should be exempt from all of
the rules.
Yeah.
I think that's why DevOps is a terrible. Big thing right now. So you put developers in control of the operations over their domain. Mm-hmm. You let them support those. There's tons of things in IT.
I think where it's possible to do it, I mean, where it makes sense for an organization, embracing this DevOps thing is fabulous. I think it's an amazing trend. I'm totally behind it. But at the same time...
When I was in IT at a Fortune 100 company at a big bank, they had already the developer side of IT had already broken the support side.
Oh yeah.
So they basically just whatever we wanted, they didn't support us, but we could do whatever that we had full access to our machines.
Well, to give you a kind of a counterpoint that'll make everybody super duper angry. When I worked at Yeah, I know. We're almost out of time. I'll make this anecdote very quick. When I worked at a giant IT sales organization in sales, we were exempt from IT too. That's why I have this nice Mac, because I just bought it and decided to use it because everybody was using Macs and not the standard. But sales was, you could do whatever you wanted. As long as you're bringing in the revenue, they didn't care.
I want to be exempt from IT. I want to be in a world where zeros and ones no longer apply to me.
Turn into a revenue-generating department? You too,
If
sir.
You become unemployed, you'll have a big focus
Ooh,
on
that's
zeros.
True. You can run your own IT shop.
All right.
Right into the ground.
I want to thank everyone who made tonight's success a success.
We had a lot of superstars tonight.
We did. We
thank
really
you,
did.
Everybody.
And I hope that's some kind of validation for this new format. We've been enjoying presenting this show in this new format since just before the beginning of the year. Technology Bites is coming up on its 20th birthday, and we're glad to still be on the air and still be a part of this radio station. If you have not donated during the fund drive, please consider next week when we have to do this again. It'd be nice to have three successes in a row, so think about us next Wednesday night. And again, our commitment is if we make the goal before the end of the show, we'll stop asking for money and we'll just do a show like we did tonight. And great fun, and thanks to everybody for tuning in and being a part of it. You've been listening to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Lee.
And he's
Groovehouse.
Greek Geek Gathering Friday.
Geek Gathering Friday.
Cones 2808 Milam.
GeekRadio.com for details. Woo!
From the World Forum in The Hague, this is Democracy Now!
We would have eradicated poverty, we would have had universal education, we would have had access to clean water and healthcare, and we would have stopped the degradation of our planet with just 1 year's money that was spent on arms.
100 years ago this week, over 1,000 women peace activists gathered from around the world here in The Hague to call for an end to war. That was World War I. Well, today is war